You know, not everyone is just into looks today. There was an ad that appeared in a newspaper that read, "Farmer wants to marry woman, 35, with tractor. Please send picture of the tractor." You know, the longing of our hearts really is an indicator of what we really love. Be it money, be it the praises of people, a close examination of what we really long for in our lives reveals what we really love. But another thing that longings reveal is what we are lacking in, or what we think we are lacking in. So the question I want to ask you today is, what does your heart long for? What is the longing of your heart today? The longings and values of society have radically shifted throughout the past 100 years. In her book entitled The Body Project, Joan Brumberg compared the diaries and journals of girls from the 1830s to their counterparts in the 1990s, and she was startled as to how different the longings of their hearts were. For example, in the 1830s, the journal entries of these girls focused on developing good works and perfecting one's character, where the diaries from the 1990s focused on good looks and perfecting one's body. Some more samples from the 1830s. Resolved to think before speaking, to develop my work ethic, to become more serious, to be more dignified, to invest myself into the lives of others. Pretty noble. Pretty Little House on the Prairie. Pretty 1830s. What were the journal entries from the 1990s? Here's some samples. I will make myself better by creating a budget and increasing my babysitting money in order to increase my pay. I resolve that I will lose more weight. I resolve that I will improve my looks by getting new glasses. And I will get new makeup and clothes for the new semester. A little bit different. There's been a radical change in what the heart desires over the years. And today, more than ever, hearts are in desperate need of finding its true home in God. I want to invite you today to open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 62 as we continue our series entitled Extreme Makeover. Last week, we looked at extreme eye surgery and the importance of guarding our eyes and taking sin seriously. And today, we'll be doing some heart surgery as we look at the cries of our hearts in its search for meaning. So where do we begin? Follow along with me in your outlines today. And the first of all, we need to remember, or we need to begin here, that I need to remember that I was made by God for God. So everyone repeat, remember, I was made by God for God. That is a fundamental truth that we must understand before we can move on to anything else in our faith journey. We need to remember, I was made by God for God. Romans 11:36 states, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever." Amen. So why are we here? What is the purpose of my life? Where do I find my meaning? These foundational questions drive our lives. And until we find the answer of why I'm here, how can I satisfy the desires of my heart? Until we find the answers to these questions, our hearts will have an unsatisfiable hunger to feed on anything that promises fulfillment. Some of the lies that we believe today, that we are here to impress people. Now, we may not consciously wake up in the morning and say, "Who shall I impress today?" But by our lifestyle, it reflects this fundamental push or drive in our lives. So because so many people think, my life needs to impress other people. I need to somehow show people that my life is of value. So we increase ourselves. We try to make more money. It determines the new cars that we choose to buy. It determines the new homes that we choose, or even the clothes. So it drives us, because we think through it, we'll gain this satisfaction. Or some people think, you know, we're just here to relax and have fun. So Eddie, you know what, just leave me alone. I'll be a good Sunday Christian. I'll show up. I'll even give a little bit of my money. I don't know about 10%, but I'll give a little bit. But besides that, don't give me any guilt trips to serve. Don't give me any guilt trips about missions. Just leave me alone. Right? Let me live my life. Because, hey, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 5. Isn't that what it's all about anyway? And so a lot of people by the millions believe this lie that Satan has whispered into our ears, and by the millions, people are wasting their lives. Also, what drives so many hearts is the need for love and thinking that we will receive it through a new relationship, through a new date, through a new relationship status change called marriage. So we go from one relationship to another trying to find the love of our lives. And so we do all that we can to fill that void in our hearts. And maybe you felt that void even today, knowing that it's White Day, or a month ago, knowing that it was Valentine's Day. And still, there's no one on the radar. And you think, if only I had someone, then I would have peace. If only someone would take me out on a date, then my life would be so different. I would be so much happier. But as it is, you feel a longing and an emptiness in your heart. But is the source of your satisfaction, of that longing, really in another relationship? Is it really in a raise? Is it really in a new job? Will this finally satisfy? Maybe this is the missing key. But we come away empty once again, longing, looking, hoping. But thankfully, God does not leave us alone in this search. And so it leads us to our text for today, Psalm 62, starting from verse 1. Let's read verse 1 and 2 together. Ready, begin? My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. My soul finds rest in God alone. The ESV reads, for God alone my soul waits in silence. Because David understands something. He understands that he was made by God for God. And so that's why he can declare, I will wait for God alone to meet me in this time of distress and sorrow. For God alone my soul waits, because my soul finds rest in God alone. Once again, Romans 11:36, for from him, Christ, and through him, and back to him are all things. He is the source of all things in our lives. He's the source of life. And all life flows through him, and all of life shall return. To him be the glory forever. We find our purpose and our meaning in Jesus Christ. St. Augustine once said, you have made me for yourself, and my heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. He also understood this truth, that I was made by God, for God. You have made me for yourself, and my heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. So where is your heart's true home? In the hands of God, our Maker. This is where we need to begin, and this is the way we become properly centered in life. Our salvation comes from Him, and our security comes from Him. Have you found your center yet? Another thing we must do, as we realize that I was made by God and for God, another thing we must do as we search for true meaning is to examine the longings of my heart. So everyone repeat, examine the longings of my heart. Psalm 62, verse 3. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? David is referring to the enemies that are against him and against his God. But then he goes on to say, don't go the way of the world. Don't listen to the voices of the world. Verse 4. They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. So be careful of putting your trust in people. Be careful of putting your trust in waiting for the approval of people. Because how often do we hear the praises of people with their lips, but really in their hearts they curse? The world is deceptive, so don't trust others to give you what only God can. Our need for approval is satisfied in God. As an example of a heart longing for true love and acceptance, I want to show you some images of Michael Jackson. So if we could go to the next slide. As you guys know, he passed away last year. He's one of the greatest musical talents the world has ever seen. But he was also an extremely insecure guy. And that's pretty amazing to think about because of how worldwide his fame spread, how by the millions his fan base was. But he was a very insecure guy. And I show these images not to make fun of him to any degree, but to show you a glimpse of what happens when a heart is longing to be accepted and loved, but cannot find it. You see, when Michael Jackson was growing up, though he was musically talented, though he was the lead singer for the Jackson 5, and all of his brothers were much older than he was, his father, ever since he was young, would make fun of him, specifically his nose. And his nickname would always be Big Nose. And as you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will always still hurt us, won't it? From the time that we're young, we know that's not true. Names do hurt. It hurts a lot. And as he was a young child growing up, even though he had millions adoring his name, from the people that mattered most, he was made fun of by him, his father, his brothers. And so he was longing to be loved. And as you can see, the number one place where the most surgeries was done on his body was his nose. He was longing to be loved just the way he was. He was longing to hear the words, "You are beautiful, and I love you just the way that you are." You see, seeking change on the outside is a sign that we need a change on the inside. Are you seeking change in your environment for some reason? You go from job to job to job because everybody's a jerk. All my bosses are not fair. And you go from relationship to relationship to relationship because nobody treats me the way that I deserve. I deserve better. And you go from store to store to store. Because you have this void, and that high that you experience from spending money and getting one more thing, as you collect debts and you go home and drop your shopping bags, wondering why you bought all these things, you are left still with an empty void. You're trying to change things on the outside. But what that tells us is that there is need for a change on the inside. We long for acceptance. We long for security. We long for admiration and love. We long to be loved. We long for it because we were created for it. Psalm 62, 9 and 10. Lowborn men are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed in a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Verse 10. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. He's saying, don't trust in the wrong things. Do not get things from the wrong sources. So as you examine the longings of your heart, what are they? What do you truly long for? But more importantly, what are you doing and where are you going to fulfill those longings? So you have a longing for community. Where are you going to fulfill that? To the bar? Looking to hook up again? Where are you going? Because are you going to the right source or the wrong source to fill your needs? Let me give you an example. You know, when your car is running low on gas, you don't go to McDonald's and ask for, you know, 20 liters of Coca-Cola and start pouring it into your tank. Now, technically, you could. I mean, technically, you could do that. You could go to McDonald's, get liters of Coke, and put it into your car's tank. Now, you could do that, and your tank will be full. But your car will also be damaged. It may be full, but it'll be damaged. In a similar way, I remember when I first came to Korea to work many years ago, and I wasn't as familiar with the voltage changes. All of my electronics equipment was 110 from the U.S., and Korea, as you guys hopefully know by now, is 220, and I wish I knew that at the time. And I remember one of the first nights that I was there, I was in the temporarily, I had to live, I was working at a university, and I had to temporarily live in the student dorms. So I was in the dorm, and I needed to shave, and I had this razor. And I remember taking, and there were some other students with me, and take out my razor, and it was a U.S. plug, so it couldn't even fit into the outlet. And so one of the students saw my dilemma, and he's like, oh, you know what, I have an adapter in my room, let me go get it. So he comes back and brings me the adapter, but it's just the plug. It's not a transformer, it's just the plug. And so I'm like, oh, cool, thank you. And so I put it in, and at first it's starting to shake in a way that it's never shaken before. And then it starts to smell in a way that it's never smelled before. And then it starts to release smoke in a way that I've never seen before. And then within a few minutes, it died. And that's when I discovered, oh, 110, 220, that doesn't quite work. And in a similar way, we need to understand these things, these pieces of an electronic equipment, they're wired for a certain voltage. Plug it into the wrong socket, damage is going to happen. It may receive electricity, but it doesn't mean what's going on is what's supposed to be going on. And in the same way, when we need love, we don't just fill up on anything. We don't just plug into anything that promises love. You need to connect your heart to the right source in order for your hearts to truly live and not get damaged. And the source of our security, the source of acceptance, and the source of love is God. Not because God just loves you, it is because God is love. So for the heart that is longing for acceptance, longing for unconditional acceptance, for the heart that is longing for love, we need some heart surgery because we have attached ourselves to the things of this world that promises love, but only gives pain. And we need a radical surgery so that our hearts might find its true home in the hands of its maker. Amen? That is what your heart is longing for. That is who your heart is longing for. Peace will not come by changing your appearance. You could get all the wardrobe changes you want. You could get all the plastic surgery that you want. You could change your job, and you can be the type of person that goes from country to country, city to city, with a bitter attitude, wondering why every place that you go to is filled with jerks. That will not bring you peace. We need to seek a change on the inside before we seek a change on the outside. Because that restlessness in your heart that wants change many times means this thing, this heart, needs to change. Amen? Find rest, O my soul. So seek inner change before seeking outer change. That is what our hearts are beating towards. Verse 5 and 6 says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. Find rest. I love this because he is teaching us. The Psalms so often teach us how to pray, how to express honestly our emotions, both positively and negatively. And I love how many times David is speaking to himself and commanding himself to pray. Seek the Lord, because sometimes we got to do that. We got to kick our own butt sometimes. We got to command our own hearts sometimes. And he's saying, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Verse 7, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people of God. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Trust in the Lord at all times, O people of God. Pour out your hearts to him. When you are wanting, when you are longing, instead of rushing to the ice cream store to give yourself some comfort food, instead of charging it on your credit card to satisfy that urge to buy and spend, pour out your heart to God. Pour out your longings, your feelings, your frustration, your needs. Learn to pour out your heart to God, because your heart was made for God, and your heart will find its rest in God alone. Don't feed it something that will not satisfy. The Coke will not satisfy your gas tank. It was built for a certain liquid, and your heart was built for a certain love. Being married does not complete you as a human being. Jesus was the most complete human being to ever walk this planet, and he never got married. What will complete you, no matter what Hollywood or Jerry Maguire says, what will complete you is when you have learned that your heart was made by God for God. That will complete you. That is what will give you peace and rest. Amen. Trust in him at all times, O people of God. This is where our hearts are changed and satisfied. It is in the presence of God. And until we find our security in God, nothing will satisfy you. You will keep buying. You will keep spending. You will keep eating. You will keep drinking. You will keep sleeping around. You will keep moving until there is a change on the inside. You see, if we seek an outer change without an inner change, you will never change. If we depend on our circumstances or our physical appearance or our looks, we will always be insecure. And especially for those of us here, because this Asian Korean culture is so preoccupied and dominant with image, not just physical bodily appearance, what you wear, the clothing brand, the purse brand, it is so deeply ingrained that image is everything in this culture. I know it is hard for so many, especially females in this culture, to be able to find peace with who they are physically. If we depend upon our looks, we will always be insecure because our looks will always be changing year after year. The wrinkles will kick in. The metabolism will slow down. And gravity will win in the end. And there will come a day, all you single ladies, when all the makeup will come off, so make sure he recognizes you before then. Which reminds me of a proverb, Proverbs 11:22. This is a beautiful proverb, really. Please listen with me. Proverbs 11:22. Like a gold ring. Isn't that beautiful already? Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Isn't that beautiful? What in the world is that proverb saying? He's saying, do not flaunt your flesh, because true beauty is to be honored and protected. That is wisdom from the Word of God. Amen? Amen? Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. So, before seeking a change on the outside, I want to encourage you to ask a few important questions before you do the outside change to see if it really is necessary. Number one, is my heart secure in God first? Or am I longing to receive respect from other people? The reason why you want a promotion, is it because of money? Is it because you can't stand the other person if that person beats you to the promotion? Is it because with the new title and sphere of influence that you will be respected or that you can use that influence to expand the kingdom of God? Are you secure in God first before you want to seek a change? Second question I want to ask you to ask yourself is, am I satisfied in God first? So if God took it all away, and literally, if God took it all away, loved ones, if he took it away, your job, all your money, if God took it all away, can you really give thanks and say, I am so thankful, God, I have you? Third question. Am I seeking God first? Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. And God will take care of you. So is my heart secure in God first? Am I satisfied in God first? Am I seeking God first? Remember David? We finished our study in 1 Samuel last year. You know, he was a guy who was, if you think about it, he was rejected a lot growing up. He was the forgotten youngest brother. And remember when Samuel came to anoint the new king? If you may recall, even his dad brought everybody except him. Right? And so, but I think what was interesting is that even though David was rejected by all of his family members, his dad and all of his brothers, he knew something about his God, and that was that God is a God who looks at the individual, that God is a personal God, and I believe David knew that. So just to refresh your memory about who God is, 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the hearts. That's the kind of God we serve, and I'm so glad. God doesn't get impressed by outer appearance. He doesn't get impressed by your salary, right? Wow, you make $1 million a year? I own everything. David wasn't a depressed guy. Again, realize, he was neglected, right? Samuel's coming. Something great's going to happen. David, you go to the field, all right? And he goes there, right? He didn't have a depressed, nobody notices me. Nobody cares about me. Poor me. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. And he didn't have an everybody loves Raymond complex either, right? Like his brother Eliab, who was so impressed. Everybody loves Eliab. That's interesting to me that David wasn't longing for that kind of attention. And I think it's because David knew the heart of God. The shepherd boy knew the great shepherd's heart towards his people. Because David knew that he spent so much time alone just with the sheep, writing songs to God, singing, praising his name. He knew that the great shepherd always cares for his sheep. And just as he loved every single one of his sheep, no matter how weak they were, no matter how interesting they looked, he cared for each of them. And he knew that our great shepherd cared for him. His soul found rest in God alone. And so he was at peace. And finally, an important thing that we need to do to gain this heart's peace is we need to take God at his word. So everyone repeat, take God at his word. Take God at his word. When God says it, you believe it. Amen? You know, many Christians say, I believe God. Eddie, I believe the Bible. You know, I believe everything the Bible says. Yeah, sure. And we have that attitude sometimes. I believe you, God. And then circumstances change. Yeah, right. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Until life doesn't seem so good. And then our attitude is, yeah, right. There's a name for people who are on the receiving end of this attitude of, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I believe what you say. Yeah, right. There's a name for that. When I was in fifth grade, one of our classmates, he had a hard time making friends because nobody really believed anything that he said because his tales were pretty tall. For example, you know, he would literally say these things as a fifth grader. Oh, you know, we would ask like, oh, what did you get for Christmas? You know, I got crayons, you know, I got this, whatever. He would say, oh, my parents bought me a brand new car. We're like, sure, Moses, yeah, as a fifth grader, you don't have a license, you can't drive legally, and your parents brought you a car, sure. Right. Or it's Halloween, and he would be like, it was like 10 days after Halloween, my parents still let me eat only candy for dinner, I'm so lucky. And we'd be like, sure, Moses, yeah, right. And he would always qualify with, you believe me, right? And our reply was, yeah, right, we believe you. Like I said, there's a name for somebody like that. Because when you don't believe what another person says, it's another way of saying that person is a liar. And when we do not trust God and his word, it not only dishonors him, we are calling God a liar. And so we need to learn to take God at His word. To honor God by trusting His word. And not to call Him a liar through our hearts. You see, our hearts need to be torn away from the lies of this world and taken back into the hands of the Father so that we learn to rest in His truth for us. So you don't look like Hollywood? That's okay. You don't have it all together? That's okay. Because God says, you are mine. I love you. And if you take God at His word, you don't have to look like Hollywood to feel secure. Verse 11, Psalm 62. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. David declares that you, O God, are strong and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. So instead of listening to what the world tells us matters, we need to listen to what the Word of God tells us, about beauty, about value, about strength. Because God says it, David believes it. Because God says it, David trusts in it. Verse 11, once again, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. What does this reveal about God? That you, O God, are strong. Everyone repeat, God is strong. He is stronger than any circumstance you will ever face. No matter how hard, God is stronger. No matter how dark and bleak, God is stronger. He can carry you through the storm. And so because He is strong, He will take care of me. He will deal with my enemies because He is strong. He is stronger. Hebrews 13:5 says, God says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, declares the Lord. He is strong. He will never leave you. What else does this word tell us? It says that you, O Lord, are strong and also that you, O Lord, are loving. Everyone repeat, God is loving. He loves you just the way that you are. Henry Nouwen says, self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence. That is what John the Apostle called himself. If you look at the end chapters of John, chapter 20, 21, 22... 21, and whenever he describes himself, do you know how he describes himself? The disciple that Jesus loved. That is how he described himself. The disciple that Jesus loved. The disciple that Jesus loved. Jesus said to the disciple that Jesus loved. That is how he referred to himself. That is our sacred identity. You are God's beloved. And God is crazy about you. Why don't you say that to somebody? Turn to somebody and say, God is crazy about you. You have just spoken life and truth into the ear of your other neighbor. And that is what we are to do. We are to speak life into each other. Encourage each other through truth, through life, through the word of God, through the promises of God. Speak life. Because our words hold power. And God's word holds the ultimate power. Speak truth into their lives. What does Isaiah 43:4 tell us? It says, since you are precious and honored in my sight, this is God speaking to his people, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. But I'll confess, it's hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? We think, oh man, God, you have too many kids. I'm only going to get a little bit of love. You have millions throughout all of history. But think of it this way. I remember when I was very young, some of my uncles who like to be mean to me and try to drown me when I'm swimming. You know, did you ever have one of those uncles, right? They're just, I would run away from him because he's just going to do something. He'll pinch me or wrestle me or beat me up and think it's fun, right? It was one of those kind of uncles. He would say this in front of my parents. He goes, "Eddie, come over here." I'm like, "Oh, brother." Yes. And I remember when he asked me one, he goes, "Eddie," in front of my parents, "who do you love more, your mom or your dad? Come on, tell me now." And I would be like, "Oh my goodness, how do I answer this one?" Right? I can't remember if I just cried or ran away or whatever, but I think it's good that I didn't know what to say. And I've repeated the same torture to other kids as I grew old, because again, hurt people, right? And so Herman knows that very well, you know, because anyway. And so I remember doing this, but I've learned to not do it in front of the parents, because there was one time I did it in front of the parents, like this little girl answered way too quickly, "That's easy, I love mommy!" And the dad was like so hurt. He's like, "Oh." But normally, most kids, they struggle with that, and that's a good struggle. I hope they struggle, because they realize, what are you talking about? There isn't one that I love more than the other. You see, I like that confusion on the face of kids, because we realize both can be equally loved. You know, what we learn through true love, divine love, and even in the context of family love, be it loving both of our parents or as a parent loving all of your kids, we realize that true love, divine love, is so big that maximum love can be shared without ever decreasing. That is what we learn. And you have God's maximum love, not leftovers. Do you realize you have God's maximum love, that God loves you, that when God looks at you, he says, "You are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. You are my beautiful princess." And when God looks at you, he says, "You are my son. You're my boy. You're my champ. I'm so glad you're mine." Like this poem says to a beautiful person, if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. Did you realize God sends you flowers every spring? He sends you a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he listens. He could live anywhere in the universe, but he chose your heart. Face it, my friend, God is crazy about you. God didn't promise days without pain, laughter without sorrow, sun without rain, but he did promise strength for the day, comfort for the tears, and light for the way. Let your heart end its search by coming home to the Father today, because God, our Father in heaven, is crazy about you. Let's pray. Let's pray right now, and I know God brought some of you here today specifically for this message, because he wanted you to so clearly hear the words, "My child, I love you." Because you've been rejecting it, and you say, "God, I want to believe it." And he wants to say, "You know what? Stop calling me a liar. Stop disbelieving my word for you. Take me at my word. And my word for you is that I chose you, I adopted you, I hand-selected you before the beginning of time to be mine, and I love you just the way that you are." So let's return to our Father today. Let's take Him at His word. His arms are wide open waiting for you. So run. Take steps of faith and run into His arms right now. His arms are wide open to receive you. He wants to hold you, spin you in His arms, and whisper words of love as He sings over you today. If that is you, if you are in need of a heart change, if you are in need of peace in your heart that only God can bring, place your hand over your heart and invite Jesus right now to bring peace. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Give me your peace that passes understanding. Give me the peace that this world cannot give. Give me this peace that this world can never give. Give me this peace today. Jesus, I need you. Let's make that our prayer today. Let's pray before the Lord and invite the Spirit to do some surgery in our hearts today. Let's pray.